So on Easter Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection, Mary Magdalene and some other women went very early to the tomb of Jesus. Okay, this is where Jesus was buried, right? In that cave. They were bringing fragrant spices to a place to place it in the wrappings upon his body. Okay, because the body after a few days smells. So they brought fragrances, okay, kind of like perfumes, to put on the body. As soon as Mary Magdalene saw the tomb was open, okay, so she came in, they went there, she saw the tomb open, Mary Magdalene, okay, that's not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene is one of his disciples, okay? She saw the tomb was open. She ran quickly to tell the apostles, okay? She ran to the other apostles to tell them, hey, the tomb was open. The other women, they didn't find the body of Jesus, right? Because Jesus wasn't there. The tomb was open. You remember that the rock that they rolled in front of the tomb? Well, it was no longer there. The tomb was open. Those other women saw angels on each side. And these angels said to them, do not be afraid. It's kind of odd, but you know, a lot of times we think of angels as like these little cute kids, right? We always think, oh, we have a picture of an angel, like at this nice little cute thing. But every time we see the word angel in the Bible, it's always like the next word right after is what? Do not be afraid, right? Because angels, you know, are magnificent. You know, they're magnificent creatures, right? They usually, when they do take a bodily shape, they look pretty scary for some people because they're so magnificent. So right away, the angels tell them, do not be afraid. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Go tell his disciples that he will see them in Galilee. Go and tell everybody that he's going to be in Galilee. Like, okay, okay, that's fine. Later on, we're going to start with the story, Road to Emmaus. It's one of my favorites. All this stuff is happening, by the way, after Jesus has risen from the dead, right? So he died already. Now he's risen from the dead. So that same afternoon, two followers of Jesus were walking out of Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. Okay? I want to explain something really quick here. They were walking out of Jerusalem, right? So all this stuff was happening a lot in Jerusalem. They walked out of Jerusalem. It's kind of interesting, right? They're walking to Emmaus. Emmaus is 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Also, so they're walking further. While they were walking over the strange happenings of the day, they saw a stranger walking beside them. So they saw a stranger. It was their risen Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. Their eyes were prevented from seeing him. Jesus appeared to them, right, while they're walking. They didn't know it was him because their eyes were prevented from seeing him. They were talking amongst each other, and they spoke of the way Jesus was crucified and then said, but we were hoping that it was he who should come to redeem Israel. And this is the third day since these things happened. They were hoping. They were hoping, meaning it's almost like it's past tense, right? You know, we were hoping that this guy was gonna be the one that redeemed Israel. He is the one that's gonna redeem Israel, right? He is gonna redeem the world. But they were lacking faith, right? Because they're like, hey, what's the deal here? This is the third day. Well, the third day was when Jesus was supposed to rise from the dead. It's not even the end of the third day. It was just the afternoon. But they were still, but they lost hope, even though it hasn't even come to the third day yet. The whole day hasn't passed. So they spoke about the way Jesus was crucified and all this. Now they were leaving all the action. Remember how earlier I said those women were told to tell the disciples, go to Galilee, right? Where Jesus will meet them. So this did happen, right? He told them what? Go, we're gonna go, and there I will meet you in Galilee. Go to Galilee and tell my disciples. But these guys were walking out of Jerusalem and into Emmaus. Now, Galilee, geographically speaking, is up north, okay? Jerusalem is here, and Emmaus is 7 miles away. So they were actually walking in the wrong direction. They weren't walking towards Galilee. They were walking further away from Galilee. Well, that's really interesting. That represents what? They kind of lost faith there. They didn't go towards where Jesus instructed, where the angels instructed these women that the disciples should meet. Why? They lost faith. Then the strangers said to them, because he's realizing that these guys have lost faith, did not the Christ have to suffer these things before entering into his glory? Then starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the passages throughout scriptures that were about himself. He talked until they came to the town of Emmaus, where Cleopas and his friends were going to stay. Jesus gave the impression that he meant to go on further. But they stopped him with the words, "Do stay with us. It is nearly evening, and soon the day will be over." Here's the interesting thing. Cleopas, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. He wasn't just any random guy. He was one of the disciples. Some people actually think he was Jesus' uncle, okay? And that could be true, of course. His wife, Cleopas' wife, if he was Jesus' uncle, was actually at the foot of the cross with Jesus. And this same Cleopas, okay, and his friend, they were walking in the opposite direction to where the angels told them that Jesus will appear. Well, where the angels told the women that Jesus will appear. So these guys didn't even believe the women, right? They didn't believe. They said, oh, you know what? He died. I don't know if I believe he's going to rise. It's early, the third day, it's in the afternoon. I mean, yeah, it said he's going to rise on the third day, but, you know, it's almost, you know, the third day is almost done. It's in the afternoon, right? They didn't even want to wait till the full third day, okay? So on the road with them, of course, Jesus is what? He's explaining all these things about himself, okay? They still don't know it's him, right? They don't recognize him. Their eyes are prevented from seeing him. Okay. And then it gets late. And it looks like Jesus was going on further. And they say, hey, no, please stay with us, for it's near evening and the day is almost over. Interesting. It's near evening. In the last book of the Bible, it's called Revelations, okay? Jesus, in the book of Revelations, which is the last book in the Bible, Jesus said to them, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter his house and dine with him and he with me. Dine. Think of that word, dine, as in what? As in dinner, right? I'll have dinner with him and he with me. Okay, and they did what? They invited Jesus to stay with them, right? All right. So they're on this road. Jesus is teaching them all about the apostle, all about the teachings from the Old Testament, talking about Jesus, about how he must suffer and die and what? And rise. Finally, they get to the place and they ask him to stay with them. You know what? Please don't go further. It's nighttime. It's evening. Come on over and have supper with us, okay? So Jesus does just that, right? They go to prepare the food. Jesus blesses the bread and gives it to them. Jesus blesses the bread and gives it to them. All at once, what happens? Their eyes open up. And they saw it was Jesus. While they were looking at Jesus, he vanished out of their sight. While they were looking, he vanished out of their sight. That's interesting. So let's get this straight. They see Jesus. He does the breaking of the bread. And then they recognize Jesus, but he vanishes. So they didn't recognize Jesus till when? Till he showed himself in where? In the Eucharist. So this was really one of the early masses, right? Remember in the mass, what do? We read the Old Testament. Jesus get on the road. And then we read the gospel, right? And then we have, then the priest does what? He consecrates the host, right? And it becomes the body and blood for us. The host and the wine and becomes the body and blood for us, right? Consecrate that. So they didn't recognize Jesus while he was the whole. Remember this whole that time they were on this road. They were all this was happening. You know, he was telling them all about himself. He was telling them, "Hey, listen, you know, Moses guy and all these prophets. They were talking about this will happen. This will happen. This will happen." I mean, they probably would have stopped and thought, hey, you know what? This guy is Jesus, right? I mean, how does he know all this stuff? But they didn't recognize him through all this stuff. They recognized him where or when? They recognized him in the breaking of the bread, which was when he took the bread and blessed it. And when the bread changed from bread into the Eucharist. So they didn't recognize him until what? They didn't recognize him until his Eucharistic self. Then afterwards, what happened? Jesus actually vanished. Jesus vanished out of their sight. And when we say vanish, we mean vanished, okay? Mm-hmm. Cleopas and his friends looked at one another and they said, okay? So they looked at each other and they said, hey, we're not hearts burning. They looked at each other and said, we're not hearts burning inside of us? As he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us, they got up immediately and returned to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 apostles and the entire company assembled. The two disciples were greeted. The Lord has been raised, it is true. He appeared to Simon. And then these Cleopas and his friends, they told them what happened to the road and how they had come to know the Lord in the breaking of the bread, which is in the Eucharist, right? This is, and during communion, this is where we are to come to really know the Lord. In the breaking of the bread, in the Eucharist, in communion. We could read a bunch of things. We could learn a bunch of stuff. But all that doesn't compare to Jesus in the Eucharist. That's where we actually see the Lord. Taste the Lord. Taste the Lord. Physically. Because the Eucharist is what? It's 100% Jesus. The Eucharist is Him, Jesus Christ Himself. The communion, what looks like bread, tastes like bread, feels like bread, is really Jesus Christ Himself. We take His glorified body. All right. Okay. So, right after we read that he appeared to Simon Peter. And this is where we're going to, okay, I'm going to using the Catholic Picture Bible here, okay? On that night, 10 apostles and other followers of Jesus were together in a room, and the doors were shut. All right. Doors are closed, okay? Shut. Suddenly, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be to you." So, doors were shut, right, in the upper room. The doors were shut in the room, and Jesus then appeared among them, which shows what? Jesus is not really limited by shut doors, right? This is the glorified Jesus, right, in His glorified body. And He says the words, "Peace be with you." Now, why is that very important? Why does He say, "Peace be with you"? Why? What's the point? Why would's? Well, it's very important for them to hear this. They needed to hear this. Why? Because they were the ones that abandoned Jesus not too long ago, right? Remember when Jesus was arrested and they all ran away? So now they're there, and He goes, "Peace be with you." Because when He appears to them, they're going to get scared. They're like, "Oh boy, we betrayed our God. He's here now. What is He going to do? He's probably very angry. We betrayed Him. We ran away. At the hour He needed us the most, we betrayed Jesus." They were afraid of this. They're like, "Oh boy, Jesus is here. What is He going to punish us for running away?" No, so right away He says to them, the first words is, "Peace be with you." So that puts them on ease, right? That relaxes them. They're like, "Okay, He's here with peace. Okay, thank God." You know, some of them were alarmed when they saw Him and thought He must be a spirit. Remember, the door was locked. They're like, "How in the world did He appear? The door was shut. How did He appear?" So they thought, "Oh, you know what? He must be a spirit." But He said to them, "Why are you disturbed, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See My hands and feet, that it is I myself. Feel Me and see For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And he showed them his hands and his side. They could scarcely believe for the joy of seeing him again. He said, Have you anything here to eat? Do you have any food? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honey, and he ate it. So he's saying, I'm not just a spirit. I am real, right? Feel, touch. And then he goes, do you have something to eat? He ate in front of them. And when he ate in front of them, they're like, okay. Now they're thinking, okay, well, he's definitely not spirit because spirits don't have bodies and they can't really eat, right? So they're, okay, now they're understanding that this is the glorified body of Christ that's before them. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, that are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. Interestingly enough, he does what? He again, just like he did on the road to Emmaus, here he also does what? In the room, he also explains to them Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So he goes back to the Old Testament. Hey, all this has been written about me before. The apostles were filled with joy, and their sadness loved them. Hope came back into their hearts. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said these words, he breathed on them. We did this. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained. What sacrament was Jesus giving then? Sacrament of confession. As he said what? Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain, they are retained. In these words, Jesus gave the apostles the power to forgive sins, which he had promised them. This power, Jesus wished to remain in his church forever. It's important to know, who did he give this power to forgive sins? Yeah, Sarah. Unmute your mic. Who did Jesus give the power to forgive sins? To who?
His disciples.
His apostles. Was specific. It's not just his disciples. He gave it to his apostles. So it was a very specific group of people. These apostles, okay, he could have gave it, right? He could have chose to give it to a bunch of different people, right? But he chose to give it to the apostles. Okay. Now, could he have said, he gave them the power to forgive sins, right? He didn't just say, you know what, go ahead, you know, you just ask me, anybody who sins, pray and I'll forgive them their sin, right? He didn't do that. He said what? He said, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive. So you shall forgive. So he's giving them the power to act as him on earth, right? In a sense, he's giving them the power to forgive sins. It was given to the apostles who passed it down. The apostles passed it on, this power to forgive sins, to their successors, the bishops of the Catholic Church. This power is used by the priest in the sacrament of penance, or what we like to call it, confession. Through confession, Jesus gives us our spiritual life, peace of conscience, the strength to resist temptation, and a lasting joy. So when we go to confession, a lot of people say, hey, why do I have to go to a priest for confession? And what's the easy answer for that? Why do I have to go to a priest to confession? Why can't I just go directly to Jesus? What's the answer, Saloon?
I think it's because the priest is the one that's given the power to forgive sins.
Exactly, right? It's because Jesus said, who sins you retain? And he was talking. Because Jesus gave the power, like you said, Saloon, to the priest to forgive. And this is the way Jesus wanted it, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, who sins you forgive are forgiven, who sins you retain are retained, right? He specifically gave this power to a group of people, the apostles, who passed it on to others, other bishops, and they made priests and bishops of all these people, of a lot of the people, to the people we have today. So they actually, he picked a select group, right? You're right. So this is why we actually have to go to confession. We can't just say, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for my sins. It's good. We should do that every time we sin. But every time we have a mortal sin, which is a big sin, right, done on purpose, okay, we are to go to Jesus Christ. Where, though? In the sacrament of confession. So we are go to a priest who symbolize, who is in actually in the person of Christ on earth, and he has the power to forgive us our sins. Only by the only the power that Christ gives them, by the way. So it's still the power of Christ. Christ, Jesus Christ, does the forgiving. The priest is in the person of Jesus Christ at that moment while he's forgiving us our sins.